Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Shot in the Dark. I am your host, John Cena Evil here. Let's get right down to it, starting with AEW Rampage. This episode, again, aired live right after Collision on Saturday, so I do have a little bit more detailed reports on Collision Course on the Post-Wrestling Cafe. But we start with the Battle of the Best Friends here in a parking lot fight, Trent Beretta versus Chuck Taylor, a wild, bloody brawl that includes TVs, trash cans, light tubes, and, of course, cars. But the final sequence included the car as Trent hit Chuck with a pile driver on top of one, then put on the Go-Go Plata as the referee called the match off. Orange Cassidy and Chris Statlander walk in the parking lot here as Trent goes and smashes Chuck's knee with a wrench through the glass, and then Statlander had to hold Cassidy back. Why did she hold Cassidy back, though? So, as it was revealed on Wednesday, they said that Chuck Taylor's wrestling career is over, so I'm not sure how legitimate that is, but if this is the way he went out with a bang. Arcady Aura is in the back with Kyle O'Reilly and says that on May 11th, Collision will be in Vancouver, so O'Reilly will have a match on that. I personally hope it's Bryan Danielson, but after the backstage segment on Dynamite, I wouldn't be surprised if he challenges Adam Copeland for the TNT Championship. Thunder Rosa defeated Deonna Purrazzo with a roll-up reversal from a Fujiwara armbar. Deonna wasn't too happy about this as she attacked Rosa from behind as she was leaving, and they started fighting on the Daily's Play stage, and Legend of Security had to keep them apart as Deonna's full-blooded heel turn has finally happened. Big Bill defeated local talent Trevor Blackwell extremely easily here, telling Chris Jericho to watch the entire time, and Jericho was indeed shown watching from the back. Bill had the match won a couple times, but kept pulling Blackwell up for more, until eventually hitting a chokeslam and covering him with his foot on his chest, and this must have impressed him, because this plus some other stuff that happened on Dynamite, it looks like he is part of the learning tree. Big Eric Redwood from his IFPW days in Impact Wrestling. Daniel Garcia and Katsuyori Shibata defeated Lee Moriarty and Shane Taylor of Shane Taylor Promotions as Anthony Ogogo joined commentary. Shibata was going to go into this match alone when interviewed earlier on Collision, but Garcia offered to be his partner, and the match ends with Shibata hitting the PK on Moriarty to get the pin and the win. We go to TNA Impact coming off of Rebellion. The show starts with Nick Nemeth going to the ring, disappointed since he didn't win the title at Rebellion, and says that he feels broken and doesn't know what to do, and of course he gets interrupted by broken Matt Hardy, who also made his return at Rebellion. Hardy cuts to the footage showing that Nemeth actually had his shoulder up for the pin and said that Nemeth should be the champion, and Hardy says that he's here to become champion and Nemeth can have his title shot when Hardy wins the title. The system interrupts them as Eddie Edwards says Nemeth came here thinking he'd be the next Kurt Angle, but instead he's more like Eric Angle, which I thought was pretty funny. So Nemeth challenges him to a match for later tonight. We go to the back, where Santino Marella is with Mustafa Ali in the good hands, where they have this ballot box where they're going to be voting for Ali's next challenger, before Jordan Grace walks in and says that she wanted to talk to Santino about something, which ends up being that her match next week with Mio Yamashita will now be for the TNA Knockouts Championship. Mike Santana, who made his return at Rebellion, defeated Myron Reed with the spin the block, the STB, for the pin. Steve Macklin came out after the match and with the Rascals, and they went to surround Santana before the Rascals left. As you remember, Macklin had kind of fired him a couple weeks ago. So Macklin gets taken out by Santana. This is actually Santana's first match back on Impact Television since August of 2019. He is still the reigning House of Glory champion. They announced that Macklin has re-signed with TNA before Steph DeLander and Khan are shown challenging Jordan Grace and PCO to a mixed match tag match at Under Siege. Josh Alexander came out to the ring and talked about being the last man standing after beating Hammerstone in Rebellion, but now it's time to become the world champion once again. He gets interrupted by Frankie Kazarian, who says that he should be fighting for the world title instead. So Alexander suggests that they have a match here, but Kazarian says he's in his street clothes, and he's injured, and he doesn't want to have a match, but it's been informed to him that the match is made official anyway, as Josh Alexander defeated Frankie Kazarian after Eric Young came out all bandaged up after getting his ear or head sliced open at Rebellion, and he distracts Kazarian enough, who ends up putting in an ankle lock as Alexander gets the submission win. Santino's at the ballot backs in the back with Jake Something and Cody Deaner until Hammerstone really interrupts them. Hammerstone and Jake Something get into it as Santino made a match official between them two at Under Siege. Gia Miller introduced First Class and Bun B, legendary rapper from the rap duo UGK, who talked about beating Joe Henry at Rebellion, which leads to Henry magically appearing, said that he did lose at Rebellion, and next week he will have a formal apology for First Class. I smell shenanigans. Zaya Brookside defeated Ash by Elegance as a referee caught Ash trying to use brass knuckles. Zaya rolled up Ash for the pin to give Ash her first loss since coming to TNA. We go back to the ballot box and reveal that Trey Miguel had the most votes, but ABC is highly suspicious, and they ask who was number two, and they said it was Ace Austin, so Santino suggests Miguel versus Austin for next week, and the winner of that will face Ali for the X Division title at Under Siege. The good hands come out, and they demanded the match with Sami Callihan, and then when they went to ask Sami who he wants to fight, he said both of them, which leads to a handicap match, and Sami Callihan defeated the good hands. It was Callihan's first match back in TNA or Impact since September of 2023, and he won the match pretty easily after hitting Jason Hotch with the Cactus Driver 97 for the pin. It should be noted both Callihan and Matt Hardy have both stated that even though they're in TNA, they have both remained free agents and have not signed with TNA, so that's an interesting wrinkle here, especially if Matt Hardy Hardy might get involved with some of this Uncle Howdy stuff in WWE. Now that we know that Eric Rowan is officially there. Steve Macklin proposed an alliance with Kazarian in the back to take out Eric Young, Josh Alexander, and Mike Santana, which he seemed to agree on. And we go to the main event here, Eddie Edwards defeating Nick Nemeth. There was distraction on the outside as Brian Myers got in Ryan Nemesphage, who was sitting ringside. And during all this, Moose runs in and takes out Nick Nemeth with the world title as Edwards followed this with a Boston Knee Party for the win. And the system kept attacking Nick Nemeth after including slamming his neck in between the two chairs. And Ryan Nemeth and Speedball Mountain all ran in to chase them off. So they had announced a match between the system and Speedball Mountain and Nick Nemeth, but now with Nick Nemeth injured from this angle, he's replaced with Matt Hardy. I thought he would have been replaced with Ryan Nemeth, but obviously they want to keep Matt Hardy in the main event here. But it should be noted, after Nick Nemeth was injured, he did end up going to Mexico and winning the Triple A Mega title, defeating Alberto El Patron. We go to TNA Explosion on Around the Ring. Gia Miller's with Havoc, who revealed that they're very close to each other and lived together during the pandemic, as well as when Gia and Ace Austin had a fire in their house. And they talk about Havoc's free time doing Twitch and podcasts, and when she says she's happy that she made a fan base. People that some of them don't even know that she wrestles, which is something she's proud of. And the sole match here was Zachary Wentz defeating Leon Slater when Trey Miguel gets in the apron to distract Slater as Wentz hits the UFO cutter for the win. We go to ROH on Honor Club. Starts with Isaiah Cassidy defeating Commander after hitting a low blow when the referee was distracted, followed by a neckbreaker for the pin. It should be noted that ever since Mark Quinn returned, I think his last match was at the end of March, and he hasn't been wrestling or even really seen, as Cassidy's been kind of going back to doing solo matches. So I'm not sure with that. Hopefully everything's okay with Quinn. Action Andretti and Top Flight defeated the Dark Order that ended with Andretti pinning Alex Reynolds after he and Darius Martin hit him with a pendulum drop. Anna Jay defeated Allison Kay by submission with the Queen Slayer to continue her Ring of Honor winning ways, since she hasn't had much luck in AEW, and I keep saying that they should put her in the Elite with Jack Perry. It's public knowledge that they're together, as she was one of the best parts in the Dark Order, kind of being the woman leading charge, and I can see the same happening here with the Elite. Athena, Billy Starks, and Lexi Nair in the back, and they had some words from Queen Aminata and Red Velvet, who said that they had some unfinished with them and put out a challenge for them, and later on, we go to Velvet and Aminata, who said that they're ready for a fight, so it looks like we'll be getting this tag match soon. Johnny TV defeated Will Austin of Ohio Valley Wrestling. He's made a couple appearances on AEW Dark, but Johnny ends them quick with the Starship Pain. Brian Cage in the Gates of Agony of the Mogul Embassy defeated Manders and Beef Tank, who's the tag team of Beef and Calvin Tankman. Manders and Tankman both making their ROH debuts, but I'm familiar with both of them, obviously, from their MLW time. The Mogul Embassy ended Tankman, though, hitting open the gate to get the pin from Cage. It should be noted here, Arcady Ara was on ring announcing here, and whenever she announced Brian Cage and the Gates of Agony, there was a edited pause in between, so I'm not sure what happened here. If maybe instead of saying Mogul Embassy, maybe she said Gates of Agony instead. I'm not sure what the issue here was here. At first I was like, maybe they're dropping the Mogul Embassy gimmick because of Swerve Strickland, but it doesn't seem like that's the case. And Swerve does say he has some friends to help back him up against the Elite, and against the Patriarchy, and we're not sure if it's going to be the Mogul Embassy or maybe Keith Lee. We'll see who that is. Yuka Sakazaki defeated Layla Gray after hitting the Magical Girl Splash in Yuka's Honor Club debut, and it should be noted this match was actually taped before her match with Emi Sakura on Rampage, where it seemed like she might have injured herself. We have a Ring of Honor Tag Team Championship Proving Ground match as Matt Taven and Mike Bennett of the Undisputed Kingdom defeated the Outrunners, with Mike Bennett getting the pin with a roll-up and holding on to the tights, but the Outrunners almost went the full 10 minutes here. Before the match, Maria had a segment in the back with Griff Garrison and Cole Carter saying that they should be going after the tag titles, which commentary brings up being interesting since Maria is married to one half of the champions in Bennett. Taya Valkyrie defeated Lainey Luck by submission pretty easily with the STF. Lance Archer and the Righteous defeated John Cruz, GPA, and Ren Jones, just destroying all three with Archer hitting Everybody Dies as Dutch just puts his foot on all three opponents to get the pin. Abaddon defeated Nova, who was a regular up in Toronto for Demand Lucha. Abaddon ended her easily and quickly with the Black Dahlia. We get a pretty funny segment in the back between Johnny TV and Taya with Aaron Solo, where Johnny says that Solo lost a W in his last name because he never wins, and Solo said that's not the reason, but he never explained why. I'd actually like to know why he lost a W in Solo. In the main event here, a triple threat match here, Beast Mortals defeated Blake Christian and Aero Fox. Really entertaining three-way here that ends with Mortals hitting the former Taurus driver, I guess it's called the Mortis driver now, on Fox to get the pin and the win. We go to Women of Wrestling Superheroes. Jessie Jones and Abilene Maverick defeated the All-American Girls when Abilene rolled up Americana with her feet on the ropes for the pin, and the mystery of this match was who Jones was going to pick for a partner, with it being revealed to be the WOW champion in Abilene, as it looks like her former team has ended. Holly Dead and Chantilly Cello defeated Chainsaw and Siren DeVoodoo Doll, with Holly Dead hitting Darkness Falls and Siren for the pin. Candy Crush defeated Princess Aussie after some help from Top Tier on the outside, including the newly made Water Girl and Aerial Sky, reluctantly having to spray water in Aussie's face, followed by the Lights Out for the pin from Crush. And the Beast defeated Penelope Pink despite interference from Vicky Lynn McKay and Lana Starr on the outside after hitting the Beast Bomb from the top rope to get the pin. We go to NWA Power. The kids defeated the Slimeballs after flipping Senton. After flipping Senton from Jackson Drake on Tommy Rant for the pin, we have a last call match between AJ Kazana defeating Anthony Andrews after hitting a running power slam. And as a result, AJ can pick whoever he wants to leave NWA forever. Between Anthony Andrews, Austin Idol, and Zion, and AJ's father, Joe Kazana, enter the ring and try to decide on who to pick before ultimately choosing on Anthony Andrews. They show highlights of Black G's making his return and talking about the cancer that he dealt with and him now being cancer-free. And then after that, he actually got shot, and now he's on his way to a comeback. So definitely a rough couple last years for Black G's, and we hope the best for him. And in the main event here of Hard Times, Knox and Murdoch defeated the Southern Sixes, Alex Taylor and Kerry Morton in the cage match. This match got bloody, so it went right to black and white here on the CW. Eric Smalls gets involved and took out Ricky Martin before hitting a crossbody from the top of the cage here. And Trevor Murdoch was able to eventually escape and get the win for his team. And next week we'll have the final part of Hard Times 2024. On NXT Level Up, Jakari Jackson defeated Ariana Grace. Byron Saxon's Sax Facts here was that this match was supposed to take place during the women's breakout tournament, but Jakara did get injured. After some distraction help from Metaphor on the outside, Jakara hit her finisher, called the Sugar Rush, which is like a running Famaster to get the pin. Jada Parker defeated Carly Brae after hitting a flip neckbreaker and her running hip attack. It feels like a lot of women in NXT just, you know, use their hips here if they have it. Idris Enofe and Malik Blade defeated Dante Chen and Dion Lennox. This got pretty wild at the end until Enofe gets the pin on Chen for the win, as the story was Brinley Rice at ringside cheering them on to get the win, which they did. On WWE main event, Ivar defeated Apollo Crews after hitting the World's Strongest Slam from the second rope to get the pin, and the Creed brothers defeated Mark Coffey and Wolfgang of Gallus with Brutus pinning Coffey after he hit the Brutus Bomb in a pretty fun tag match. And on WWE Speed, we have the semifinals and the tournament here, as Johnny Gargano defeated Bronson Reed in 2 minutes and 23 seconds after Gargano dodged a senton and rolled up Reed with a crucifix for the pin. And Gargano will actually face Ricochet this Friday, tomorrow, to determine the first ever WWE Speed champion, so we'll talk about that next week, where we have another episode of Shot in the Dark.